People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello, everyone, and more specifically, hello to you. I'm Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, just checking in for another bonus episode from the Ramble Archives, this time from the 2017-2018 season. We've got a whole lot of stuff in this episode, including Mick McCarthy mugging off his own fans, some wholesome tweeting from lovely, big, cuddly Neville Southall, and Scott McTominay's Player of the Season Award. Bizarre stuff. We're going to be kicking things off with this.
Are you suggesting that Socceroma finally put together a banter missile that could reach the mainland?
I think so, yeah. It could hit Miami.
Mainland banterland.
There we are. Anyway, speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, back due to overwhelming popular demand.
Lord.
He's back!
He's going for gold, ladies and gentlemen.
For the 2017-2018 vintage.
You've even recycled the going for gold live theatre show jingle.
I know. Gold. Are you guys ready to play? I guess I need to kind of reset and explain the admin, really.
You give people the skinny on what it is.
Basically, I read out a set of clues pertaining to a mystery footballer, and you guys have to buzz in and tell me who it is before I get to the end of my clues. And it's as simple as an unalloyed as that.
It's one guess per clue each. You've got to be disciplined on it.
Yeah, and you've got to say stop.
Yeah, you've got to say stop. And whoever says stop first gets to guess first.
I'll tell you what, the people were wanting this back, and it is there.
But people love playing along at home, so strap yourselves in, listeners. Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yeah. Yep. When they're going
for the winner. Lord.
I am a Champions League winner.
Stop. Is it Clarence Seedorf?
No, it's not Clarence Seedorf.
Stop. Jimmy Traore.
It's Jimmy Traore. Fuck you, Jim. Fuck you in your fat face.
What a start.
You know it. Well, I hope you've enjoyed going for gold.
Lord.
Unbelievable,
there
right? You can have the rest of the.
Oh no!
Rest of the. For fuck's sake! Fuck me!
To be fair, Pete, he's like the known sort of obscure Champions League winner. People are going, oh, Jimmy Traore won the Champions League.
You know what will be next week now, don't you? Jimmy Traore.
Yeah. That had two.
Jimmy Ballardio.
If Rafa goes, what do you think? Is that enough experience
Steve
for the job?
Steve Watson played every position on the pitch back in the day, apart from goalkeeper, I think.
Did he not?
It might be centre back he didn't play. One of the positions he didn't play.
I think he had a little stint in goal.
I think he did have a stint in goal. Yeah.
Can I fast forward you guys just because I want to get Pete's opinion on it? The quote of the summer.
Here we go.
From the aforementioned Mike Ashley, who we talked about. This will tell you exactly what he is, in fact, spending his money on. He said, I'll just read the quote. Unfettered quote.
Right.
My thing is not to drink regularly, it is binge drinking. I am trying to get drunk.
And he also described himself as a power drinker.
You
forget the context. It was in a court of law.
Yeah, and it was referencing a business meeting which he had to excuse himself from the table in a pub and vomit in a fireplace.
Did he go to
the loo? This is the stuff he's happy to talk about.
What's he covering up in front
of the law?
What's he covering up?
To be honest, Sunday through Thursday, I don't drink at all, but Friday, Saturday, I'm very much in the Ashley camp.
You're a power drinker.
I'm a power drinker.
Yeah.
Me and him, we love that. Talk it out.
Thrash out some business deals.
Yeah, thrash
out. One of you later forgets agreeing to.
Vomit in a fireplace.
I've bought a human sized fidget spinner to play in defence. Shit.
Well, you know, you're the voice of Sports Direct Radio.
Hello, minions. Keep working. Yeah. If indeed you are working today, 0 hours.
Oh, it is binge drinking. I'm trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. In his 40s.
He's succeeding.
In his 40s or his 50s?
I mean, yeah.
Something like that.
It won't matter if he carries on like that.
No.
My goodness. Lennon to aggravate the Rangers fans, isn't it? And it's unlike the Rangers fans to act a little bit silly in response. Eh? It's all about how you respond to things in life, I find.
Lots of people who listen to this show are always like, we ain't talking about Scotland. Make us talk about it. You have done now.
For all the right, wrong reasons.
But the highlight for me was the St Johnstone Motherwell game.
Yeah.
4-1 to St Johnstone.
Mark McGee's former club, Motherwell.
I mean, this game. I would implore you can watch the a decent, well, I'll say extended highlights. I mean, it's impossible to leave anything out.
Well, there was 5 goals.
Yeah, on the BBC website, there's highlights of it. It runs to about 5 or 6 minutes. The game was utterly amazing, right? I've got a little praise of it here. So St Johnstone went ahead with the world's shittest goal, right, straight away. So you know you're fully anchored in Scottish football when that happens. Right, that's where I'm watching the game. And they double their lead with a nice goal, but the defending was poor. Then the world get back into it with a goal from a set piece. And you think, okay, this is a good game. It's 2-1, you know, it's happened. Second half, it goes absolutely mad, right? Trevor Carson, the youth of favour Portsmouth, literally picks up the ball outside his area. But it's like, it's a through ball played. Trevor Carson thinks, well, I'm not going to get to that. Mm. So rather than just sort of slide in and do like a defender's type tackle, just picks the ball up. So he's off.
Yeah, that's right. It.
So he gets sent off. Yep. Motherwell refused to defend again and just let St Johnstone in who scores and then McHugh, who in the same way that Chelsea reacted badly to their red card, McHugh for the well, he's on a yellow anyway, and he throws a huge assault on the St Johnstone player. So he walks. As he walks, one of the St Johnstone players is pointing at him and laughing. Right, so that's the type of game it is.
Yep.
The Motherwell manager, Steve Robinson's going mad as well. And the best thing is that the pièce de résistance, right, is Charles Dunn commits a professional foul and is sent off again. So Motherwell down to 8.
Yeah,
he was sent off midweek in a different competition.
It's got all football. It's like so many red cards.
And then they get a penalty, St Johnson. Yeah. The keeper, who's let an absolute softy one in earlier, saves the penalty, and then they score a 4th anyway, so that's it.
There we are. So 4-1. 4-1 to St Johnson. Motherwell down to 8 men.
Those highlights will be on the BBC website. Please watch it. It's brilliant. Mark McGee.
Jimmy, are you looking forward to anything on the weekend?
Lauren Koscielny.
It's been too long, pal.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm looking for... Well, he probably won't play, but if he does, Adnan Januzaj, he signed for Real Sociedad for $8 million. Man United have a buyback clause, you know. Oh, yeah. Never burn your bridges. This is modern football. Adnan told reporters that he will dedicate his first goal that he scores for Real Sociedad to Louis van Gaal, as they didn't get on very well at Old Trafford, and van Gaal basically wanted him out of the club. And I thought, you don't understand how dedications work, really.
It's petty. It's petty, isn't it?
It's only like when you've scored it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're creating your problem here.
And rest assured, by the way, if I know anything about Louis van Gaal, he literally no longer knows who Adnan Januzaj is. He's well and truly got
and
rid
to
of
be
him.
Honest, when, you know, he's going to pass away probably sooner than Januzaj, if you're ever in for a spooking, I bet van Gaal's bang up for that.
What are you going on about?
What? Who would you be? Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night and a ghostly apparition that is Louis van Gaal is at the bottom of your bed shouting, "Listen to saxophone lady!" And then the ghost saxophone lady comes in. Oh, it'd be a mess.
Can I just finish this off by
that
saying...
That would be a mess.
At time of recording, Louis van Gaal is very much alive.
Do you experience a lot of Dutch ghosts in the night?
They kind of do.
Busman's holiday, really. I just moaning all the time. Yeah.
Don't say bus.
No, sorry, yeah.
All right, then. They treat him normally there, according to Jose Mourinho, and they call him Z.
I love the fact that he says that they treat him normally when they're opening a road in his honour. That's his idea of how he should be treated by everyone all the time.
Yeah. Well, so, Cristiano, why did you go back to Madeira? Another statue, so...
Yeah. Naming an island after me. This one, not yet. Soon enough.
If it was in England, it would be Mourinho Road, wouldn't it? Mourinho Road.
You're right, mate.
That is the gist of it.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Do you want to fight, mate? Yeah. I've been away for too long.
Hang on a minute.
I'll have a fight with you if you want.
Save it for Russia next summer, lad. All right.
Come on, mate. It's of there.
Imagine that. Imagine wanting to have a fight with someone but agreeing to put it off for 9 months. Because, you know, speaking of that, there was a guy who, back in our home, in our hometown, it's like a pretty small village. Really.
Just down Luke Moore Road.
Yeah. And I was going back there for an unveiling of a road. But, you know,
and we're going down memory lane.
And no, there was this guy there who used to be a real wrong'un back in the day. He's about my dad's age now.
Yeah, but he's here with us now, ladies and gentlemen.
And, no, but he honestly was a real wrong'un. And my mate said that he came up to him in the pub and said to my mate, "Oh, is your dad still knocking about?" And my mate went, "What are you talking about?" He went, "Tell him I'm still looking for him, won't you?" I think it was like some sort of argument there, like back in the 70s.
This
was like in 2004.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah. I respect it.
That's one of my mates. So in Edinburgh, he bumped into the old the old secondary school bully.
Yeah. Mm.
And he was chatting about, I mean, this is years on. Years on from you know, 10, 11, 12 years on from secondary school. And he saw him, he's like, hey, how you getting on, pal? And they always got on quite well. And he said, do you need anybody battered or anything like that? I'm 28.
Yeah. I've got enough battering.
Well, hang on a minute.
I'll tell you what, I took a right kick in that weekend. I don't know who it was.
That is quite a Mourinho thing to do. Mourinho would bear a grudge for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
I just can't help but feel that if that guy had been looking for that guy's dad since the 70s, he would have come across him by
now. He's not looking that well, is he?
No.
Maybe that's
home,
the only flaw.
Yeah, that's what fuels him. He doesn't actually want to find him.
Oh, he's a problem.
Does he?
I've got terrible cataracts. Can't see anything.
Things on the pitch, it was the same old Arsenal, but it's the same old Wenger as well.
It's familiarity breeding contempt.
Exactly.
There's no way people would be having the conversation they're having about it after the second game if it wasn't Wenger.
I thought Wenger might have taken a leaf out of Real Salt Lake coach Mike Petke's book when handing out photos in the press conference.
This was absolutely amazing.
To prove his thoughts on the game. Because Wenger does like say this, that and the other, I didn't see it and this happened. And he was, if you saw this, ladies and gentlemen, Salt Lake City coach, he handed out photos in a press conference to prove his player was fouled at a crucial moment during the match.
Who printed this out for John?
Mike Petke is the guy, long-term listeners of The Ramble. Mm. Do you remember the famous coach?
Oh, was that him?
That's Mike Petke, because he used to be the coach of the New York Red Bulls.
Right, okay.
And he was absolutely fuming. I've never seen a manager more angry. And the best thing was he
printed out in colour. Wasteful.
He had it printed out in colour, and he kept saying to his assistant, who was brilliantly called Trey. Trey, pass these out, Trey.
Yeah.
Pass these out, Trey.
Serve them up, Trey.
On the tray. On Trish Tray.
He also said at some point, if I do not do what I do, you mean lose my temper, I cannot sleep for the next 4 weeks.
Lose his temper.
Yeah.
Is it just simmering the whole time?
Yeah. And he also said, I had two more examples of this, but the freaking printer didn't work.
Probably ran out of credit and he's printing us out all the time.
And he finishes the point by saying, he sort of trails off by saying, but the freaking printer didn't work, we'll get him out to you, don't worry, we'll get him sent to you.
We're all right, thanks.
All the journalists are just like, nah.
Well, thank goodness for that.
At one point, because he's talking about his player getting punished unfairly for some particular physical altercation, which he thinks was innocuous. And one of the handouts he gives out and is he starts going, look at him, that's a freaking headlock.
A freaking headlock.
Very WWE.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, most of them just came out with those little kind of models of famous poems that kids make at school, dioramas. Have you made like a diorama of the situation, or maybe like made one of those science volcanoes? And that's how angry I am. Yeah. That's how mad I am.
Pass it around.
If you merge,
get bike on your face.
If you merge Spurs is the base of Spurs as midfield, it would be a diorama, of course. Think about that, everybody. That was bloody excellent.
You mixed up the word dire and dire.
Any more side points?
Wanyama, did you say? Sorry.
You think about it. You
didn't hear it.
As soon as
you start getting punny.
And it's that
I close my ears. My ears just skin over.
Yeah, something about your system shuts down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a firewall for puns in your programming?
I'd like to see Mike Petke just come into a press conference next week with a massive strip of magnesium.
Look at this guy.
Blind if I'm in the room. That's how angry I am right now.
I've been staring at the eclipse for the last 3 hours. Oh, I can't see anything.
You're all blind anyway. You couldn't see that red card.
But it was a great...
Blind squirrels and nuts, in my opinion.
That's a hell of a nut to stumble upon, isn't it, though? My goodness, it's not the only honest story we heard on radio recently. I didn't hear this, of course, I read about this. Some of our listeners will be au fait with Happy FM in Ghana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A joyous listener, I'm assuming. Well, this was very, very interesting indeed, because Alhaji Babagedo, the president of second-tier Amadeus Professionals in Ghana, again, a team that we're all very familiar with.
It's a great name for a team.
He was discussing some refereeing standards and whatnot. And refereeing standards will always be discussed no matter what league you go, no matter which country, so on and so forth. And here was a man who, as I say, he's the president of a second-tier side. So he's got a bit of standing in the game, a bit of importance, and you think,
I sense you might be building up the same game, mate.
I used to pay countless fat bribes to referees.
Oh my God. Here we go.
Not just skinny ones, fat bribes.
Let me put my seatbelt on. Now I'm ready.
But I've stopped now. That's good.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I didn't benefit from it.
Oh, right. Okay.
You sort of popped yourself on the moral high ground.
Has he found that other people are bribing more?
Well, he went on to say, you pay the bribe and the referee will still go ahead and rob you, which means he also collected a bribe from your opponents. That's what pissed me off.
You've got no cause to complain. Yeah,
he was on. He occupied the moral high ground and went tumbling back into the valley.
He did occupy the moral high ground.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah,
come on.
His opening gambit is, I used to pay them fat bribes, yeah. But clearly other teams paid them fatter bribes.
I'd like to know what world you're living in, Marcus, where owning up to an actual crime is occupying the moral high ground.
The best you can offer is that he's been honest, but he's only being honest about his own dishonesty.
Yeah, that's
because he's nowhere for him to go.
Because it didn't work.
And it's pissed him off.
Yeah.
What am I to do?
Yeah. More of this guy.
Oh, I feel not sorry for him.
No.
My goodness, yeah, well, that's... this year. Portugal beat Hungary 1-0 away. I was in Hungary over the weekend and I visited one of the most beautiful stadiums I've ever been to.
Which one?
The Pancho Arena.
Ah.
But it's such a shame because if you read up about the Pancho Arena, it's not for nice reading, especially if you're a Hungarian citizen. Do you know Viktor Orban?
No. Who's the enlighten us.
No, he's the leader of Hungary, it's more accurate to say, shall we say. And how this stadium was financed has been come into question.
So is this a new stadium?
It's about 2 years old, I think. And it's a very small stadium. It's only about 3,500, which is double the population of the village it's in.
Oh, dear.
Happens to be the village where he's from.
Just put a statue up.
Wow. Honestly, the house that he owns in this village, it is a stone throw away. In fact, it's literally pissing
It's a stadium
distance,
just in his garden.
Pretty much. It's absolutely shocking. It's well worth a read. If you're into
it. Has he got deep pockets? Let's move on. I've got an email about this, actually.
Oh, have you?
From Jimmy Allen. Hello, Jimmy Allen. He says, hello, Ramblers. This weekend I was in the beautiful city of Budapest for a friend's stag do.
Here we go.
Oi, oi. Ed's on. A lovely time was had by all. And to top it off, I got to see man of the people, he puts in inverted commas, an all-round good guy, Marcus Speller, tucking into some pre-flight grub.
Yeah, that
would have
happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I speculate as to what you were eating?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
All day breakfast, no cuppa, orange Fanta, no ingredients you couldn't buy in an off-license.
Yeah, no sauce.
Absolutely. Within the M25.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Barely any moisture involved at all.
Luton's outside the M25. Okay. Is he saying on the way in or the way out?
Well, I think it's on the way out. But basically,
there's no all-day breakfast in Budapest.
Yeah, but I reckon you would have taken the sausages with you.
Yeah.
They've
got fine sausages over there.
You just take a string of sausages with you to the airport, like a cartoon dog.
He says, what I'd like to know is, was I correct telling my friends that it's rude to go and speak to somebody while they're halfway through a meal, as I had to battle the urge to meet the great man himself with my awkward/polite Britishness?
Was great in inverted commas as well.
He bottled it, basically, which my friends all thought was hilarious.
If you see me pissed up on the continent, stay away.
Come on.
Of course you could have come and said hello.
He says, what were you doing in Budapest alone and on an international weekend?
I was visiting the Pancho Arena.
There we go.
I got an invite from Viktor Orban.
Marcus can go where he wants.
And I think the football ramble.
That's libelous. Let's move on again.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Greece 1, Belgium 2.
I love that you've literally taken over the hosting duties now to get away from this.
The Belgians are there.
The Belgians are there. The Belgians.
Marcus, can Pete be you for a bit? I was enjoying it.
Oh my goodness. I'm still struggling to remember what I was eating. It was a slice of pizza.
Good.
There we are.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Meat feast. Right. The Belgians are there. They
sausage
beat
feast.
Picked out all the veggie bits.
Didn't have the dip.
It's technically a meal accoutrement, and I'm not getting involved. What do you mean you don't put gravy on a pizza? Bloody hell. Oh, dear. And if he gets a chance to shoot, he should have a pop.
Who are some of the German players that we're going to be coming up against, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We can talk about some of these players, and I think Ashley Young, Man United managers have seen a bit of him. And
do you know what I'm going to do? Give me a list of the German names, and I'll give you a reason why England shouldn't be scared of them.
Yeah, well, these are a handful of names from the Germany squad to put England's squad in perspective. Iker Gundogan.
Can't get in the City team. Carry on, next.
Under Southgate, wouldn't be in the side. Emre Can.
Plays in front of the back four for a Liverpool side that have already conceded 17 goals this season.
Tony Kroos
Was recently in a team beaten by Spurs.
Also ill, I think.
Oh, is he?
Apparently so.
He's not got the stomach for it, Jim.
No, exactly.
Sammy Khedira.
Plays for a team that struggled to beat Benevento, the worst team in Serie A history last week.
But they did beat him.
Struggled.
And he's won the World Cup.
Next.
Mesut Ozil. World Cup finalist, goal scorer, Mario Götze.
Bombed out of Bayern Munich and once got a stiffy in public.
Did he?
Yeah. Look it up. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to specifically look it up. Just Google him.
Yeah. I think Peter Beegery got one as well.
There we go. He's not the German squad, though, is
no,
he?
No. Next. Motorbike.
Manchester City starlet Leroy Sané.
Okay, I genuinely can't think of a bad thing about him.
Mats Hummels.
Played in a 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim recently in September.
Okay.
And looked bad.
Jerome Boateng.
Couldn't even cut it at Man City.
Also injured. Yeah. All right, I don't have to worry about him. And Joshua Kimmich.
Also played in that 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim. So yeah. What are you worried about?
In the bag.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it with the Brazil team.
No, please don't. That would just be disrespectful to yourself. If it against him.
Can I get involved with a little bit of Neville Southall?
No.
Go on. No, you can. Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. Big Nev on Twitter has been magnificent the last few weeks. He loves skeletons. He hates Tories. It's just a beautiful, beautiful... last night, if you're gay, straight, trans or anything else, confusing gay, straight and trans, you should be able to be what you want. Not live a lie without discrimination or prejudice. Somebody replies, what about Tory skeletons? They are none. They don't have souls.
Wow.
When you look at a person's eyes, you see them really trying. Someone with a million cigarettes struggling along, trying to cope best they can, humans. And then somebody replies to that, hey, Nev, can you recommend a book on your good self, please? He says, no, mate. He's got his own autobiography.
I could recommend one, In Search of Perfection. I told you all about it before. Big Nev signed it for me once.
Is that Big Nev's autobiography?
It's half goalkeeping manual, half sort of like his ideas about stuff. And also, has Neville tweeted much about how he tried to sue his own daughter?
No, he does not tweet
about
that. No.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he did. Well, the thing that sort of kicked off October 3rd.
That is something that literally happened.
I know, but people need the chance to be able to redeem themselves.
And he has redeemed himself. October the 3rd, the start of this skeleton nonsense, was all from this tweet saying, I love the thought of recycled skeletons. Imagine walking down your street and all your dead relatives were lampposts. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I can't sue a skeleton, though, can he?
No.
A football legend has sued his 19-year-old daughter to get back £55,000 worth of trophies.
That was ages ago. October 6th, two crows sitting on a tree above a graveyard. One says to the other, where's them effing skeletons?
I am devastated. I idolise my dad. I don't know how I'll pay the costs.
October 5th, skeletons have arms, legs and back. Make ideal chairs. Why is he obsessed with skeletons?
He's gone
full Jeremy Bentham.
What I love, and I really appreciate this, Luke, is when Pete actually finds something that he's positive about,
you just tear it down. Yeah. Neville Southall. October 5th, later in the day. Imagine skeletons, handlebars on your motorbike made from arms.
This is bizarre.
Breaking would be so easy and fun.
Oh dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
I just love Neville Southall.
Thank you very much for listening.
We found something you do like, and that's important.
Tactics.
Well, I was about to say, Pete's threshold for shocking behaviour is a lot higher than other people.
It is, yeah. I'm very forgiving.
Mm. Yeah, you are.
Indeed, yes. Mm. Shall we go to Brazil, gentlemen?
Fancy it. Well, I'm a bit jet lagged already, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, just got back.
I know, jeez.
The continent where we'd have a little bit of reggaeton, Peter.
Pete should have gone straight there.
The old sambar spirit. What?
The old sambles. Get your sambas on. Ibis Sport from the northeast of the country, or Ibis Sport, although I'll say Ibis, otherwise it sounds silly. From
which
my
the hotel brand.
That's Ibis, yeah.
Ibis.
They're from the northeast of Brazil. They play in the lowest division of the Pernambuco Championship and are self-dubbed the worst team in the world. This was a piece in The Guardian, very interesting indeed. They were officially crowned the worst team in the world after going 3 years and 11 months without winning a match in the 80s, which is quite spectacular. They're deeply concerned at the moment, though, as the side have won three in a row. It could have been four. I couldn't find their result on Sunday, funnily enough. The Pernambuco Championship doesn't rank high on the Google search engine. But so they've won three in a row. Could have been four, but definitely three in a row. And the fans feel this is ruining their identity. Now, Pete Donaldson, if this is not the team for you, I don't know what is.
Diehard Ibis sport fan.
Right up my street. Is right, right up my strata.
I'll tell you what, if there's a successful takeover in Newcastle, he's going to Ibis sport.
Damn
it's like,
right.
It's like when the Glazers took over at United and all those fans started supporting FC United. Yeah.
This
Manchester.
Is your FC United, Peter. Yeah.
That's my feeder club.
Indeed. Well, after the team won their third straight match, fans piled into a bar where the players were having a drink to celebrate the win, and the fans asked them to stop winning.
Yep. One fan said, "This is destroying our history."
Pete, this is you all over.
What do they go to the football for? What,
I don't know.
The joy?
I don't know.
To enjoy the opposition, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. Presumably,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, other fans went on social media to complain.
They are from the northeast. I mean,
yes.
It's long I like this. Your interest is peaked, isn't it? Yeah. I can tell.
What's the kit look like?
What's
the major airport?
One of the fans complained on social media, saying, "This is a worrying situation in the long term. To stop being an icon and to just be another winning team, it's the coach's fault." Doing his job.
Love it.
Doing his job. And this is great. A former player for them, a midfielder called Mauro Shampoo. That has to be a nickname.
Have you seen a picture of Mauro Shampoo?
Well, hence the nickname.
Yeah. It is a magnificent
poem. Oh, it's a nickname.
He's their conditioning coach, I think.
He boasts that he only scored one goal in 10 years and said this winning is bad for the team's brand.
I think if he gets...
Something's come along and burst our bubble.
I think he could really shine if he was given a bit of chance.
Love that.
Yeah. I expected more from you.
Hey.
Rather than just a shampoo song.
Well, at the moment, Luke, it's damage repair, isn't it?
It is damage repair.
I'll let you get all of you who shower really of shit.
What about?
A shower of shit.
You have to let yourself down, boy.
Shower.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I do get it. Yeah. It's not a pun, though, is it? Just saying shower of shit.
I'm just letting you get on with your shower of shit.
Okay, thanks, right? Mate. Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
Defenders don't know how to defend against tall players in 2017, so no. Duncan Ferguson might probably do something.
There we go.
That's all I'm saying.
In 2027, they might not either. but yeah, we mentioned Everton in the Europa League. Of course, they played Lyon at Goodison Park. Didn't get a very good result there. The Everton fan who punched a Lyon player while holding his three-year-old son, some of you would have seen this, with the big melee that happened when Ashley Williams got involved, and it was all a bit silly, and there was a bit of a brawl, and some of the fans came down and stuff.
I never knew something could be so funny and so depressing at the same time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It is one of those ones. Well, the Everton fan who did punch a Lyon player, and that did happen, sadly, he said he was ashamed of what he did. And then he went on to say that he was angry with the club security because they let
him do it.
Yeah, and the others get so close.
Look what you made me do.
He was also angry with the players themselves because, in his words, they're supposed to be an example. Now, this is a man. This is a man who punched a fellow human being while holding his three-year-old son. And he's accusing other people of setting a good example.
Probably blames his son for not being able to follow up with the left.
Yeah.
I would have followed up with the left.
You're going to set a good example.
They should be giving them my wages. The amount of respect I got for them. Like, what?
Oh, dearie me.
Yeah, he was not the sharpest tool in the shed. And also, very, as I said earlier, very, very depressing to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does his son get banned? Because he's been banned.
His son didn't actually throw a punch, did
no.
he? So hopefully they'll see sense.
Yeah, but he was a counterweight to the pivot, I would say.
Scandal as three-year-old banned from football.
Oh, dear.
Well, absolutely. That's what I question myself. It almost feels like this is more suited to what happens in the third season of Mourinho, the TV show.
I was out of the police station inside half an hour with my solicitor, but I'm ashamed of what I've done. I already know. I'm not a fucking dickhead.
We're back to the Everton
fan. Yeah, why not?
I was getting bored of that Mourinho stuff.
I knew I'd put myself and my son in a dangerous position. It was not intentional, but I'd been too concentrated on screaming abuse at the players for being shit.
Is this better or worse than the Newcastle fan punching the police horse?
Pete...
Can we have a marks out idiot?
They're please? Supposed to be setting an example. They're professional athletes.
Do you think John Terry's still got that Dad of the Year award? Because I know he deserves
it. More on John later, of course. But
Cantona ran off the pitch and gave a fan a kung fu kick in the chest. Yeah, I'm the worst thing in football. Are they deluded?
Who's interviewing this man? Yeah. Fantastic.
It doesn't look the best on video. That was his final quote.
Yeah. Because he claims he was sort of caught in a surge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Basically, my fist just sort of got caught up in the current.
Sorry about that, Huddersfield fans.
That's all right. Yeah. I thought, maybe I'll just give one quote on that and we'll move on. But no. Ramble will prevail,
it
ladies
will.
And gentlemen. And so it should, so I apologise there. But yeah,
another team who's doing quite well in the Championship at the moment is Sunderland.
But every time I do the highlights of the week thing out on the Facebook, I just get a load of Sunday fans going, oh, we didn't win again.
I do forget how many people listen to the Football Ramble who just bought Sunday, and I go, what are you, why?
Yeah, they drew
there's
away.
For you.
They drew away, Pete.
No, there's plenty for them.
Yeah.
But if you do stop listening, away, please do download.
A dirty plastic Geordie and news from the Championship. That's all you get.
By the way, three draws in a row for Sunderland now. Which, if they carry on like this and draw every game for the rest of the season, they'll still get relegated. Yeah. So.
It's a platform to build on.
Yeah.
A platform that has a trapdoor in it.
And will collapse.
Yeah. Independently of the trapdoor.
Yeah.
Will Dick Advocaat go back there and save the day? Will he? Will he not?
No.
Again,
you
answers on a
no,
postcard.
He won't.
He knows that Willie is Dick.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. true. Mm. Sorry.
Willie Advocaat. the worst Christmas drink. Grandma, Grandmama, come downstairs. There's some Willie Advocaat on the side for you.
Mother.
Season's greetings.
I brought it in from the courtyard. Yeah. That's a great impression of people from Sunderland there.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's a fantastic championship round that chap.
Correspondence with Peter Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence with Peter Donaldson. That's my name. Do wear it out. Hello, Zane Pritchard. Hello there, Ramblers. Apologies if I've missed the boat with this, but I'd like to allude back to your chat. Can you allude back to a chat about games being stopped for peculiar reasons? Sky Sports News ran a story a few weeks ago about a game that was taking place in the lower leagues of France. The pitch was located directly next to an elderly woman's house. And during the game, the ball kept on being kicked over into her garden. She became so frustrated at having to throw the ball back over time and time again, so she decided to take matters into her own hands. She proceeded to march onto the pitch with a plastic garden chair and take a seat on the halfway line, so the teams could no longer play, resulting in the game being abandoned.
We'll just get rid of her, just move her off.
You can't physically...
Lift her up in the chair.
Well, you're restraining a woman.
But of course you can move, so that's a life ban. Pitch invader.
Yeah. Is that a garden?
Yeah, so that's a life ban, and it's a stewards matter or a police matter, and get rid of it.
I think it's a beautifully rustic scene. They went down to the boulangerie and enjoyed some.
What sort of security
fromage.
Is there in that game?
I don't know.
Well, didn't you say like French fourth tier or something?
Yeah,
I thought you.
Probably
I thought
just
you,
a Schofield, to be fair.
I thought you were going to say that she pulled out a knife and was just popping the ball.
Yeah, I was a bit
yeah,
worried.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
People used to do that down my street. Yeah, if your football went into someone's back garden, yeah. they would pop it.
Yeah,
I remember my dad having a set too with a guy down the road because he wouldn't give our footballs back. Dad went down there and challenged him.
Yeah,
challenged him to a knife off.
A knife duel.
Yeah,
there was a guy who used
no, not, there was no knives involved.
There was a guy who lived next to me who was only too keen for you to walk through the house to get the ball. So, I mean, carry a knife for a different reason. That's what I would say.
Is it the canoe man?
It wasn't the canoe man.
No.
The canoodling man. Hello to Stephen. Hello,
Blue Brazil.
Well, we're always keen to hear from friends. We're keen to hear from Billy Frendo.
Ah,
Billy Frendo.
He has to be
Australian.
In Sydney, Australia.
It sounds like an 80s chocolate bar.
Billy the Frendo. Get yourself a Frendo.
Yeah.
Full of a lattice of chocolate and nuts. A Frendo.
Is that what the guy used to say in your house for getting the ball back?
You got a Frendo. It's under the sofa.
Hey, Frendo, calm down. It's no biggie.
No need to call mum and dad.
It's no biggie.
Yeah. Crystal Palace.
So now they officially are rubbish again.
Yay. I quite like the name Gary Hours. If you sacked your manager and your team was accused of being lazy, and you'd come out and go, don't worry, we're putting in the hours.
I've got a few
I like
more.
That one, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
This one particularly is fantastic. Ben Bennett said, my heart at the weekend is at the QPR Financial Fair Play hearing. Harry Redknapp's the only signed, in quotes, one or two players to get QPR promoted, as most of the players on big contracts were already there when they arrived. Those one or two, in quotes, were Danny Simpson, Richard Dunn, Carl Henry, Charlie Austin, Gary O'Neill, Matt Phillips, Javier Chevanton, Oguchi Inewu, Yossi Benayoun, Cole Donaldson, Aaron Hughes, Benoit Asuakoto, Tom Carroll, Nico Kranjčar, De La Torre, Kevin Doyle, Will Keane, Madiba Maiga and Ravel Morrison.
Bear boats, yeah. Bear boats.
How the chairman does all the hyperbole.
One or two. But even if he said a handful or a few, do you know what I mean? Yeah. One or two.
Can I just squeeze a few? That's made it in.
Yeah. Very slim pickings.
All you got to do is make
it's the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Art Grimley.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, if you're called like John Smith, you've got no chance. Yeah.
Give yourself a fancy name. Just make up a name.
Call yourself Stormzy. No one cares. I'll read it.
Yeah.
Craig Doyle.
Hello, Ramblers. I have a pair of Kevin Keegan stories to bring to the banquet.
Pair of them.
And the first is Keegan's last game for Liverpool before moving to Hamburg in the summer. Liverpool won the league with Keegan having a phenomenal season. However, in Keegan's penultimate game, they lost the FA Cup against Man United 2-1. 4 days later, it was the 1977 European Cup final in the Stadio Olimpico Rome, and Liverpool were playing against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Keegan runs the game and in the process wins a penalty, halved by Scottish disaster Bertie Vokes, to make it 3-1 to Liverpool, winning their first European Cup. After the match, Keegan enters the dressing room and says, "I have won you the European Cup there, lads, and that's my parting gift." Centre-half Tommy Smith spins around and says, "But you were shit on Saturday," and then lamped him. If you look at the celebrations of the win, Keegan is there, but he's wearing a big pair of aviators and a black eye.
Don't need to hit him, is there?
Tommy Smith was tough. Tommy Smith was the guy that, was it Bill Shankly said about him? He wasn't born, he was quarried.
Oh, dear.
Oh, poor Keggy.
No need to him.
No
need to him. Story two.
He's just trying to be light, isn't he? Yeah. He's just trying to be confident.
That's the support story to the main event.
A second shorter story in my lifetime, being a Scottish kid, I actually got the chance to go to Kevin Keegan's soccer circus.
Oh, yeah.
And got to do a bit of head tennis with the great man himself. And while not knowing particularly who he was at the time, apart from knowing he was a former England manager, in doing the challenge after a poor header from myself and a determined Keegan to keep it up, we were in the high 20s, so the headers happened, got to over 20, and Keegan was determined to keep it going, and he fell over and ripped his trousers. So thank you for that, Craig Doyle, and Kevin Keegan's soccer
circus.
Can that
be true?
No, it doesn't. In many ways, Jim, we've got to the point now where it doesn't actually matter.
No. Yeah. You can make up a story about him, and then it will like happen to him the next week.
The thing is, because Jim, genuinely, the lawsuit can't get any bigger.
No,
so there's no, and Pete's going to be a witness for the prosecution anyway. So
he'd fuck it up, Keegan, wouldn't he?
He would absolutely represent himself.
Is it you use the word?
How have I got life for this?
I was a defendant.
Your solicitor's on fire, Kegan. He's a proper ratchy bastard.
Making all the mistakes. Game one of them.
Pop-pono breaks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Yeah, it's such a bold kind of mission statement as well. You're really setting yourself up for a fall. It shows the confidence he had in himself.
Yeah, during his time at Manchester United, he won 13 league titles, 5 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 2 Champions Leagues, 1 Cup Winners' Cup.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Which was in the form of the Club World Cup.
And the Club World Cup in a pear tree.
And that year when they didn't enter the FA Cup.
Yeah.
5 FA Cups.
Done. What are they even 4 of?
League Cups.
Right, let's do this. We're going
to do it.
Right, 5 FA Cups.
I don't know what you won 3 of.
4 League Cups.
He won 11 Premier League Manager of the Seasons Award and 27 Manager of the Months Award.
All right, that goes at the top.
Yeah. I've got one for two Nevilles.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Let's go 3 bottles of red wine.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
He did win 2 Champions Leagues. We could put the Nevilles in if you want, but I fear that...
I prefer Nevilles.
Yeah.
I think he would too. 5
FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 3 red wines, 2 Nevilles, and a good
tree.
Yeah, well rehearsed, lads.
Yeah.
You derailed that.
Yeah.
He was also given a knighthood.
Oh, we say that then.
Oh,
just the one knighthood.
And a knighthood in
front of the queen.
And a knighthood from the queen.
There you go.
Right.
Edit that together, Pete. This is brilliant.
A real episode for City fans, like, this, isn't it?
Whack a beat under it.
Man, City fans are loving this. They've had their one, though.
Yeah, they have.
They're all right.
At the Swamp.
They can just look at the league table.
They must have been thinking to themselves, yeah, take it.
Yeah,
go on. Happy Christmas, sir.
Happy Christmas, Daniel.
Well done, Danny, baby.
Yeah.
Marvellous stuff. Peter.
What?
Are you ready to move on to the Premier League?
I'm ready
Is
to
it
move
Roy
back
the boy?
Into the Premier League.
Roy the boy.
What's this, Marcus?
That's Roy the boy riding again.
Here he comes, riding again. Roy the boy.
Absolutely. Wanted alive.
He's a cowboy on a steel horse, on an eagle he rides. And he's wanted.
Imagine him riding
specifically alive.
Him riding an eagle like Daenerys Targaryen and a dragon. Roy on the top of it.
Can you imagine him in the garb as well? Oh. And the plaits.
Absolutely.
Charlton fans trying to punch it, can't get near it.
Yeah.
He wants to be a cowboy, baby, with this kind of performance.
They were bloody brilliant.
What have we got? We've got an email from Tony Kail.
Oh, go on, Tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Kail.
Oh, okay.
Tony Kail.
So is that like a vegetarian Tony Gale?
I'm not listening, subscribing to this podcast anymore. I've got some music for this. Hang on. I'm not listening to or subscribing to this podcast anymore. You've made far, far too many anti-Trump comments. I ignored the first couple because I enjoyed the show so much. It's absurd since this is a football podcast based in the UK. If I was listening to any other podcast that was US-based, then I, of course, would not be shocked by triggered liberals making comments against President Trump. Believe me, I'm used to the bombardment of lies / brainwashing that the liberal media spews out. However, I listen to football podcasts like yours to escape that extremely biased media I have to deal with here in the US. But I can't escape it, I guess. It's funny. If it wasn't for Brexit, then I'd worry all the Brits were triggered liberals like you guys. I strongly suggest you keep politics out of your show. Tony Kail there.
Just a chat. Hit me back.
This is Stan.
Tony Gale's really gone down.
Wow. Tony Gale.
Yeah. I can't believe Tony Gale has got time for that.
Veggie Gale.
I know.
Unbelievable.
The great thing is, the one thing we do know about email complainers is that he will absolutely listen to this show. So you'll hear that.
And probably keep listening.
Thank you for your email, Tony.
You weirdo.
And if you want to get involved, he's not a weirdo. He is a weirdo. Show@thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved. That's show@thefootballramble.com. And we can talk about whatever the fuck we want, to be quite frank, Tony. Have a good day.
Bushwhackered around, chuck straight out.
Oh,
same principle.
Comparable.
Same. Hello, Ramblers. Hope all is well. This is from Sam in London. Basically, I am quite a desperate man, or more specifically, a man desperate for you to read an email I've sent into the show twice already.
Desperate Sam.
Well, get the message, Sam. How's this made it in?
The reason I'm trying one more time is genuinely, I do think you'll enjoy my contribution. This is almost, this could go either way. This could go Kail.
He's seduced
me. This could go down the Kail Highway.
This is like when we have a meeting before the show and people try and pitch ideas and we all say no.
I want to do a rap. Everyone said no. A while back, Marcus began an episode of the show talking about the man who drove Man United and Manchester City's first team coach.
That's right.
During the days of Sir Alex Ferguson. Yeah. Naturally, you all seemed surprised that such a figure existed, but he did. His name was Derek Sutton and he was employed by the Manchester coach company Finglands, which I'm quite enjoying.
Finglands.
He also went by the nickname of Sutty. Sutty became good friends with Ron Atkinson, so much so that he was
allowed to sit in the dugout during United's away games. And he was there on November the 8th, 1986, when Atkinson's successor, Sir Alex Ferguson, took his place in the United dugout for the first time at Oxford United. Ferguson took one look at the portly, bespectacled man to his left and asked, "Who the fuck are you?" Upon discovering who Sooty was, Ferguson made it clear to him he would never be allowed to sit in the United dugout again, and he never did. The end.
Oh, that's the beginning of the end for Ferguson.
I know.
That's it. That was his first and most egregious mistake.
Not Ron's, though.
No. Ron rung him up, so I told you. You make that sort of decision, you'll never win the trophies I have.
But oh, it's a tight ship under Big Ron Atkinson, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, mate, it's so tight, the Man City bus driver is technically sitting in the United dugout.
When people talk about Ferguson taking over the club and eventually turning it around, the way they talk about it is that, you know, the people were just drunk all the time, this bus driver thing. It was like walking into like a post-apocalyptic city for the first time. Wow. Big Ron sat there going, "Ah, lovely old job, isn't it?"
The dugout would just be on fire.
You can ask yourself, would you have preferred to play for Manchester United pre or post Ferguson? Because I'm not sure.
And let's not forget, there's a lot of truth in this, because Big Ron once famously sat in the wrong dugout at the start of the game for
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Might have been at Hillsborough.
No, it's Man United, Man City.
Yeah.
He's still City.
Sooty! Oh, yeah, he's Sooty!
Yeah. Not the last time he got in trouble for that sort of language either.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Dreadful, but wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't ever jacked up this bad ever.
No, hey, naughty. Very naughty. Now, that was last week. Right, let's talk about Huddersfield. They managed to stop the rot with a confidence-boosting win over Bournemouth. It wasn't just a win, it was a confidence-boosting win.
A penis was seen.
Yeah, penis was seen. Let's get to the real stuff.
With apologies to Huddersfield, who put in a fantastic performance, and all the Huddersfield fans loved it, and good for them. Box ticked. Pete, you're the penis correspondent. A penis was seen. Who was it? What was your impression? What can we learn from
it? Was it as big as yours?
Well, I've done some studies. I think we can discount the Jewish members of the squad.
Yeah. But would you kiss him on the hat?
Is the question. Who knows? Could it be anyone? Lovely little swing on it. Good size.
Yeah.
We had a long discussion on the WhatsApp group. A good size.
Yeah, I agree.
Lovely little swing on it.
There's a thigh tattoo involved. Because the thing is,
it's a thigh tattoo involved.
Yeah, well, because no one knows who it is. Surely it's really easy to find out.
Okay, yeah.
Oh dear.
It was absolutely fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
Good swing.
It was a great development
over and over again.
I can't believe Huddersfield fans must be gutted that their 4-1 win was overshadowed by one of their squad getting the old chap out.
I think most people who wouldn't be on this show.
Bit of showboating though.
Yeah.
I should do that more often.
Yeah.
Just like,
get
imagine
your wanger out.
Yeah, no, at the end of the game, Newcastle should have just like done a lap of the pitch, willy copter in.
I'm for that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But we all need a hustle, I suppose.
Yeah. What a model pro.
Speaking of model pros, I'm looking forward to this one.
Paul Pesci-Salido.
Your man.
He told a story about Neil Warnock, which surfaced this week.
And we crossed live to our Paul Pesci-Salido.
Look-alike
Marcus
man.
Well, old Paul, he said, when they were both at Sheffield United, Warnock took the players on a team bonding weekend to Scarborough, as you do.
Yeah, glamorous.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And Pesci-Salido said that they went 10-pin bowling, and Warnock convinced everyone to put £10 in the pot with the winner taking all. You can imagine Warnock trying to get a bit of team spirit.
Come on. We'll just have a tenner on
it. Tenner's into pot.
And I'll get some pints of mild as well.
Yeah.
And we'll have a lovely time at the bowling.
Yeah, winner takes all.
I love bowling, do I?
Who wants scratchings?
Yeah. Well, who's put tenner in the fruity then?
So then, as Pesci-Salido then went on to say, we all agreed for some fun. Then Warnock pulled out his own bowling shoes and custom ball, shot 250 and took all our money.
I like to think it was one of those resin-based balls with a rose in the middle.
With his name on it.
Like a kingpin.
Colin Wanker on it.
Yeah. I think that is absolutely superb.
Colin Strike Wanker.
All right, lads, you never get in a bowling match with me. You take all your money.
I've made 150 quid here. Who wants a pint?
I love that so much.
Yeah.
His own shoes. Right, lads, should we begin now? Well,
I love that he's telegraphing that he's mugging them off as well and then going through with it.
It's like a Paul Newman-esque hustle.
Yeah.
It's massive. Inspirational. The same sort of hustle that Karen Brady did later on.
Yeah.
Moments earlier, we all need a hustle, Peter. And the football ramble seems to be ours. Right, ladies and gentlemen. It would be nice to see him do very well. Now then, we move on to the main event from this whole podcast. Luke was at Fran Park. They lost 1-0 against Shrewsbury, which will please a friend of the ramble, Murray James, of course. Yeah. Luke, not a classic. Why did you want me to include this in the
because there was a really funny moment. There's a few kind of funny moments, as there always is. The referee missed a really blatant handball, and one man got so annoyed that he was ejected.
Wow. What was it? He was swearing, or was he getting...
With his 10-year-old son.
Good.
Nice.
Imagine the sort of behaviour you have to exhibit to be physically kicked out of Fratton Park.
Because of what you're saying.
Yeah, so that was good.
Did his son go with him?
He had to, didn't he? He could stand on his own, could he?
Well, he doesn't sound like the most responsible parent, so who knows?
His dad was literally like, come on.
Oh, I see. And he's like, but my Uncle Tommy's here.
But anyway, Portsmouth weren't that good in the first half particularly, and they went into the break 1-0 down. In the second half, they started playing really well. Kenny Jackett made a couple of changes, and it worked.
Really well.
No, they did.
Didn't work, did it?
No, at that point, I'm putting you in the context.
Okay.
I'm as pessimistic as they come, and you guys know that. But at that point, I thought we're probably not only are we going to equalise, we're probably going to win this game.
Okay.
We hit the crossbar. The keeper made two world class saves. Nailed on penalty, turned down. Anyway,
got to take your chances.
But the point is, we were losing 1-0, but the feeling was quite good. And Christian Burgess, who plays at the back for Portsmouth, he's a centre back in League One, right? So he's not silky. He's just a centre back. But the feeling was quite good at the time because we were playing well. We were playing the ball out from the back, right? Christian Burgess gets the ball. The striker's coming in to close him down, and he just nutmegs him. Lovely old job. It was a lovely nutmeg, right? To the point that even though Portsmouth were losing, the fans went, "Ray!"
Yeah.
Apart from the one guy sat next to me who just got so pissed off and didn't do a nutmeg. He went, "Oh, don't try that again, you fucking giraffe." Oh, it's brilliant.
Love it.
Brilliant.
Lovely.
I couldn't laugh properly, though, because he was terrifying.
Yeah.
But it was very, very good.
Okay.
Anyway, we lost the game, so the joke's on us. I thought you might enjoy that.
The tactics work to a point. I mean, I understand what he means in one sense, but he is overlooking the fine work that football club has been
and Roy,
doing.
Roy Keane now lives his life. Like, I'm not saying I don't agree with it, but Roy Keane now lives his life like a man on a permanent wind-up of every other human being on the planet.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
So including himself.
Take it with a pinch of salt, can't you?
Yeah, really? I mean, it's over the top, certainly. The thing with Roy Keane is there's always violence in the language. I mean, it's really aggressive because...
His words are salty.
Yeah, what he's doing is he's pointing out facts, but really violently.
Yeah.
Like really aggressively just pointing out facts. Like if Wikipedia hated you.
It's me. Have you seen my entry? Ramble fans just changing it every time. The only thing
you won't get more of that now.
Like, it's really hard to keep something on Wikipedia. I've not done it myself, but from what I've heard, it's quite difficult because people just are on it. As soon as you change something, there's, you know, thousands of people around the world checking up on the facts. The things that have been left in, that have been checked, I was on a TV show with Paul Gascoigne.
Were you?
Going fishing. No. But according to Wikipedia, I've got an illegitimate child in Japan.
Wikipedia, though.
Yeah, but Pete, people just think, that's true.
I'm not saying it's not Brand Donaldson.
Pete, but I've heard a thing that I think Luke's told me before. That there was some test that says Wikipedia is as accurate as like a normal encyclopedia. So are you absolutely sure that none of these things are true?
I saw a talk with a guy, like a scientist, I forget who it was, who said he was a particular expert in one strain of science and said he was asked to look at the Wikipedia page for that particular specialty that he had and just critically mark it, and he said like, it was incredibly accurate. It was really good. But Pete, the best
Donaldson
part of all
has done extra work. He once appeared as a walker in The Walking Dead. Incorrect. Never done that, although I do look like
but
a zombie.
Why are you bringing attention to this?
Yeah.
It's going to get 10 times worse.
Only
now.
That's
he
worse.
Likes it.
Yeah. Got me edge, right? Shitheads.
Yeah, could have made you 32, couldn't
I? Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
What were we talking about, Marcus?
Pete's chances of getting on Radio 1.
Yeah.
You're too old, mate.
That is very slim.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'll finish with this one from Isaac Hose, who says, Isaac Hose, great name. He says, finding out Kevin Keegan was born on Valentine's Day means everything else pales into comparison.
Yeah.
Wasn't Isaac Hose chef from South Park?
That's Isaac Hayes. Yeah.
Someone must have been messing with his Wikipedia.
I'm pleased you actually knew that because I couldn't remember his name.
Jim, are you looking forward to Arsenal having a weekend off?
Yeah.
Hence you having a weekend off, I suppose.
Yeah, indeed. Marcus, do you fancy a couple of Wikipedia entries that have been changed? What about by Ramble fans, basically.
Yeah. About
on
me?
My Wikipedia. On my Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, my nickname was the Sledgehammer of Eternal Justice.
Was?
That got wiped. That got wiped. Wikipedia's.
Oh, these are the ones
men
that
and women just sort of deleted
Wikipedia's editors, a.k.a. you, what? Yeah.
The Sledgehammer of Eternal Justice.
Pete went public about his yogurt addiction in 2017.
Well, that's true.
Pete caused a nationwide stir in May 2017, where he proclaimed his top three Newcastle United signings to be Gavash, David Batty and Albert Luque. I actually quite like David Batty.
David Batty was a good player for Newcastle.
He speaks 14 Asian languages, has a Chinese wife and is the Emperor of Japan.
And complicated finally, that one politically, isn't it?
And finally, for now, I failed to graduate due to overdue library books. That one is actually true.
You see,
that one should have remained in there.
I was about to say, you actually told me that. Yeah.
You knobhead.
There we go.
Marcus.
No, you are.
No need for that.
You're disrespecting your own education.
He's just reading your Wikipedia, man. Apparently you're a knobhead.
Yeah, that's what it does. You see all the workings out at the end. Conclusion, knobhead.
Yeah. And then when you type in knobhead in Wikipedia, it forwards to Pete. Yeah.
Just like Google Images.
Yeah.
There we are. 40 points.
Treats himself to a worm for every point they got in the Premier League.
Spaghetti worms.
Yeah.
Worms and meatballs.
Worm bolognese.
Oh, but before we talk about Manchester City versus Chelsea, let's go to the emails with PTD.
Yeah, just a quick couple, to be honest, Marcus, because we have got an email special later on this week, so look out for that. Keith from Texas says, hey, gents, not sure if you got up on this on the Brit broadcast, but the US broadcast of the Liverpool-Newcastle game delivered my highlight of the weekend. Peter Drury commented that Rafa was putting on another layer against the cold, wise man that he is. Cut to two shirtless Newcastle fans making V signs and shouting indiscriminately. Peter Drury then says, and those are Geordies.
Very good.
Thank you, Keith from Texas. Also, Chris in Auckland.
Do you think police officers are as hapless as that and you can get away with crime? So he showed you Robocop.
Yeah, couldn't he fly in three?
Oh, shut up, Pete. Marcus, come on.
Fly.
Let's go to the Championship at the Old Farm Derby. Happened two very late goals. Norwich 1, Ipswich 1, of course, was the result. Tim Closer missed a good chance earlier in the game. Made amends, though.
Didn't he?
With that injury time winner.
Mick McCarthy. This is so good.
A man who does not obey the public trust.
Marcus, tell them.
Or protect the innocent.
Tell people listening who may not have seen this, what Mick McCarthy, and you say he was accused of doing it. He did it.
Accused of doing it.
What did he do?
He told his own fans to fuck off.
He celebrated a
allegedly,
goal.
Allegedly.
No, he celebrated a goal in their biggest game of their season by screaming, fuck off, to his own fans.
No, even better than that, it was the fist going right
fist
in there.
As well.
Going right, no, I would not say that's a fist pump. That was
an uppercut.
That's going in there. That's right up the arse. Like, fuck that. You. Up the arse.
Explain that to
people who pay my wages up to the wrist.
Pete, imagine explaining that to the director. I know what you're saying, Mick, but the fans are quite important.
Calm down, Mick. They can't hear you now. Stop saying it.
What I were doing was I were pretending I was fishing out some grass from a tractor, and it was a tribute to the match.
Yeah. Pete, you can imagine the director saying that, and Mick McCarthy goes, "No, I don't know what you're saying, but it's me against them. Fuck them
and you." Yeah. It was a shame for Big Mick because, of course, Ipswich scored on the 89th minute.
And our Myman delivering a calf. Like what a farmer would do, yeah?
Manchester United, they're still in it.
They are.
But they're out of the Champions League.
They also are.
But you know, but just move on, Jim. I mean, it's not a big...
Good to see Ollie's
up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mourinho said, I don't want to make a drama out of it. We don't have time
no,
for that.
No, we know you don't want to. Yeah. That's the point. We all know you don't want to do that.
Because you're usually so bad at that, aren't you?
Yeah.
We don't have time for it. I think we do. Yeah. Yeah. Eh?
We'll find time.
We'll make room in our schedules, yeah. Well, he said, we have a match on Saturday. That's football. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, nothing to see here apart from a humiliating home defeat.
Yeah. and a well-deserved one as well, I think it's fair to say, given the way they approach both games. He also said after the game, that he's twice sat in that chair as manager of Porto and Real Madrid after knocking Man United out of the Champions League, so it's not a situation they're not used to.
Unbelievable.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Real Madrid. Well, Real Madrid won here.
There's so many layers to that as well, because what it's also saying, in addition to how ridiculous it is also saying,
We've lost before. We'll lose again.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we don't want to hear about that now.
You should just be happy we go out of a group. Yeah. That's essentially what he's saying.
Let's remember some of my past achievements.
Yeah. When I wasn't the manager.
You're
welcome. Specifically at your expense.
Yeah. Look how lucky you are to have me.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's absolutely wonderful.
We did say that.
Stop trying to bring him in.
I'm talking about
your fault.
I'm talking about you.
So now that you are him, you're defending him.
I know. I become everything I hate. Hello to Callum. Hello, Callum.
All right, Callum.
Hello, lads. On the latest show, I was delighted to hear a mention of Kevin Keegan's Soccer Circus. That oft-forgotten relic of mid-noughties football patter.
I love it how everyone calls it a soccer school, but with Keegan, it's a soccer circus.
I know, yeah.
What I like... No, I think it wasn't called a soccer circus or something.
It was. The name of it.
Yeah.
That genuinely... Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, everyone else, it would be a soccer school Keegan calls it.
Growing up in Glasgow, I was about 14 when a school friend invited me along to the soccer circus for a day out. It was fucking shit. We were the only people there, and the board staff let us go round twice extra for free. It makes it sound like it was an amusement.
Yeah, I think it was like an experience type thing. Yeah. It wasn't like a Bobby Charlton type thing.
I think it was
a travelling like mini soccer theme park.
What's Keegan involved?
We talked about this years ago.
His name on it, didn't he?
Figurehead, mate.
Kevin Keegan's football clusterfuck. Yeah.
Give it
it's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Give it a Google.
Why are you firing me out of a cannon?
As we were... As we were leaving, though, we noticed the great man himself exiting the office.
Ah.
So he didn't have to stick around. He was clearly just a figurehead, promotional figurehead. But no, he puts the hours in. And that's why Keggy is brilliant. Yeah.
Two people in that day.
Yeah. if my name's on the door, I really should be there every day.
I should be checking fire exits.
I'm not a lion tamer. Don't put me in the cage with him.
We were the only people there, as I said, and boss staff let us go around twice extra for free. We approached Keggy tentatively. I, a lifelong Man City fan, thanks to my dad, was wearing an 05-06 home shirt. Oh. We're talking Barton, we're talking Vassell, we're talking Fowler. My friend was wearing a bright orange Valencia away shirt he'd gotten on holiday. Keegan was initially very friendly, but when I asked him to sign my City shirt, he said, "I'm not fucking signing that. It was the season after I left."
Oh. Fair enough, to be fair to Keegan.
Turning his attention briefly to my friend, he pointed at the Valencia shirt and said, "What the fucking hell is that? We were 14. He's gone off on one, hasn't he? He returned to my shirt, signing it reluctantly and commenting on how filthy it was.
Filthy.
You want to give that a wash, kid.
Maybe he's in a bad mood after a recent pratfall.
Maybe. Yeah. I took my signed shirt home and immediately put it in a frame which would fall off the wall and smash it a few days later, because of course it did.
Yeah, apparently you also took the Valencia shirt off the kid, washed it in this washing machine and it shrunk it.
Yeah. Well, apparently I lost touch with this girlfriend, but I hope somewhere there's still an orange Valencia away shirt with a massive Kevin Keegan signature.
Maybe he's listening to the show.
Sharpied on it.
Pete, maybe we can what's the word? Reunion.
Get them back together. The reunion islands.
We must, generation-wise, we must have a lot of listeners who went to that soccer circus. So do get in touch.
Yeah. Did anyone end up being a professional footballer? That's what I want to know.
Going to a Kevin Keegan soccer-themed theme park.
It's like Mr. Blobby World, isn't it?
Yeah.
The soccer circus closed for...
So did anyone ever become a TV presenter by meeting Noel Edmonds?
The soccer circus closed for a good month later. Okay. So there we go. Get Callum. Hello to...
I think he made the donation, but he wouldn't wear the shirt.
Yeah.
That's you're right, because you reminded me there. Sheffield United beat West Ham 3-0 in the running. And I think Warnock probably thought... we've got a chance.
Safe as houses.
But it's so funny because do you guys remember just on the Tevez thing and the Warnock? Because really, what we're talking about here,
it was a great escape from West Ham as well.
It was, yeah, with two players that were illegally bought. but what we're talking about here, really, a big facet of this is this Warnock at the sort of forefront of ramming this unfair thing through. Because no other, I mean, Charlton Athletic were also relegated. They didn't complain, as far as I know. I mean, maybe they did, but there wasn't as much made of it. But do you guys remember in 2011 when Carlos Tevez had a bust up with Roberto Mancini in a Champions League game
against Bayern?
And he refused to come. Well, they said he refused to come on.
Yeah.
And he later said, "No, I refused to warm up." Mancini came over to me. I can't remember who it was against. It was away from home.
It was Bayern, I think.
Right. Mancini, if you remember, Mancini goes over
I remember it very well.
And says, "Warm up." And he says, "No, I'm already warmed up."
There's two differing accounts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the funny thing is, this is not the point. The point is, at that point, Neil Warnock was managing QPR, right? Not involved in the Champions League.
Yeah.
No need to. You know, if you get asked about that in a press conference, I'm here to talk about Queen's Park Rangers.
If he was managing Bayern Munich, it might have been relevant.
Yeah. The sooner he leaves the country, the better.
Oh, he's like Terry Butcher's, you know, always going on about Maradona in 86. Yeah. Warnock will keep going about this.
And this quote is brilliant as well. I can't see it being sorted by him staying. 2 weeks' ban is a disgrace. Within a few months, he'll be kissing another badge. Yeah. Warnock cannot let it go.
You're having that, Jim. In another 2 weeks, he'll be kissing another badge.
This is music to my ears. I'm Team Warnock on this. So, yeah, add some words for Richard Scudamore as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is Warnock. I'd love to get him in a room on my own for an hour, no holds barred. If it was any other club, Scudamore would have made sure the facts came out. I find it amazing that he has kept his job. If it had been a big club, the truth would come out earlier and it would have been sorted.
Yeah. I'd batter him all around that room, I tell you.
I love punching, do I?
He's a good dead man.
He makes a good cop.
But anyway, listen, Rob, if you want to... ...years for one to come along, you get 4 or 5 years.
Unless I read this wrong, and forgive me if I have, but Jose Mourinho caused a bit of a shock in the room when he gave Manager's Player of the Year award to Scott McTominay.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is absolutely brilliant that he's done
it's
that.
It's such a merc, isn't it?
It really is. Brilliant.
I wonder how McTominay feels about all this. Because does he take it at face value, or does he think, I'm being used as a weird example here?
Let's be honest. It's the closest thing Mourinho can do to giving himself the award.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Especially 5 Premier League starts this season.
Yeah. I mean, is that disrespectful to...
Played a total of 640 minutes in all competitions.
I'm sure I've read that right, that he gave him the award.
No, sorry, that's in Premier League and Champions League competitions.
I saw a quote from him about this, saying that he doesn't look at players and, you know, young players and senior players. He just looks at players, and he says, and I love this kid. It's like, well, hang on.
They're all kids to him.
Yeah. The other players, that they need to step up.
Do you think
I love it how he's just politicised. What's supposed to be quite a nice event.
Do you think that he was more or less entertaining as Manchester United manager at the Manchester United end of season awards than Louis van Gaal was?
Never.
That time.
No. Lenny with the saxophone. The saxophone, they're never going to beat that.
Give a big applause.
Yeah. Before you move on to van Gaal, and I don't want to get in your way. I really don't. 5 Premier League starts for McTominay.
Yeah, that is so funny, isn't it? It's like he's only just realised he can use academy players.
Yeah, he got really carried away.
Yeah, well, there we are. But yeah, it is worth remembering.
One of those games, can I just say, of the 5 Premier League starts, was the one against Crystal Palace the one where he had to come off at half-time because they were 2-0 down?
I can't remember. They won that 3-2. I mean, Matic scored the winner, didn't he? Matic got a goal of the season if it's the same Crystal Palace match we're talking about.
Yeah, they were 2-0 down at half-time.
Matic scored the winner.
And then came back and won 3-2.
Yeah, that's right.
No, maybe I'm pretty sure McTominay got dragged in that game.
I can't remember.
So basically, one of the 5, and there's only 5 that he started, but 20% of those games, he got the hook at half-time, because his team were 2-0 down against Crystal Palace, and they ended up winning 3-2. Player of the Year, that's Player of the Year material for me.
Unquestionably.
5 Premier League starts.
Unbelievable.
It's only 5 more than you.
You got to think about what Romelu Lukaku thinks of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
Little naughty boy.
As you were at Newcastle for a
while. Little naughty boy.
James Hill just wanted to make a comment about the fact that he's living in Dubai the past couple of years. He's dealing with Keaton Gray out on Middle East TV.
Oh,
apparently, this new thing they're really annoyed about, modern footballer nonsense, is to get angry about the Stoke Palace match where Ryan Shawcross led the team out on the pitch. It was noticed by Keys that some of the mascots were children of the players. I've not noticed this end-of-season tradition before because it is completely irrelevant and dismissed it immediately as a harmless token the kids have probably been looking forward to for a couple of weeks. But not Keys. He was actually incensed that anyone in the Stoke team or their spawn should ever consider enjoying the occasion for what was literally 5 minutes. According to Keys, there is a big difference between holding your own child's hand before a match instead of the hand of a child you don't know. After the match, Keys was adamant that the fact that some of the players walked out with their kids contributed to the defeat and therefore ultimately gave them relegation because they had the audacity to enjoy the match.
Richard Keys there, a man who literally had sex with his daughter's friend. Happened. It happened.
Martin Nash. Here's an highlight of the weekend. James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn.
Pete, Jim and Mark have gone. So gone. No, no, yeah.
Martin, I don't like the intensity. It's the Luke Peach Show. Martin Nash says highlight of the weekend was James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn.
Who knows that we're in between the club season and the World Cup? We're talking about right, said Fred. Giving them the kudos that perhaps they didn't receive fully in the 90s, but they have now.
so we can kick on.
Yeah.
Who'd like to hear about me meeting Kevin Keegan? Literally everyone. I met
Is that your first point of order? Who would like to hear about me meeting Kevin Keegan? Did you tune with a bit more respect than you usually bloody do, Marcus Speller?
I know. What?
One of my favourite footballers.
Oh, Pete, I reckon it was one of the worst displays of two-facedness you've ever seen. Yeah. It was really nice to him.
Iago-style levels of two-faced turncoaterie.
No, I have... Look, do I respect Kevin Keegan and Arsenal Fan TV? I respect one of those things, and it's Kevin Keegan. No, I just find a few things rather amusing about the man of what's happened.
Like what?
Well,
let's have some highlights.
We know all this. What was it like to actually meet him?
He's genuinely a lovely man. He's exactly as you would imagine. People love that man as well, and rightly so. I have to say, though, no sooner had he walked into the room and he shakes everybody's hands and very congenial, very lovely. He sat down, and I'm not joking, the first story he tells. Now, I don't know whether this is a recent thing or back in the day when he was playing in Liverpool, but he, for some reason, he told some story. Obviously theft is not funny, etc. and so on, but he told a story about his car radio getting nicked when he was in Liverpool.
Silly.
That was his opening thing. I don't know.
Incredible.
Well, that was his anecdote. I had my car stereo stolen in the place where everyone says car stereos get stolen.
Yeah, so I think it was probably from yesteryear. But okay. But there we are. There we a go. Lovely man, nonetheless.
They're not removable anymore, surely, are they, Marcus?
I've no
they
idea.
Probably are if you're Kevin Keegan.
I fit in my own car stereo, and it's definitely not removable, so I can concur it's not.
Okay.
Here we are. But a lovely chap, genuinely. Very, very lovely. Still thinks,
a meeting of minds.
Still thinks penalties are a lottery, though.
Yeah.
Despite the overwhelming evidence myself and others suggested.
You never play the game.
Yeah. So we'll also find out about that in the summer, I expect.
Yeah. That's true. He did admit that when he took England to Euro 2000, that they had these ideas in place, and then when they tried to implement them and they didn't quite work, they didn't have much of a plan to back that up.
Right.
You know, and I
doesn't sound like Kevin Keegan's managerial career at all.
Well, Kevin, what are we going to do next? Well, I thought that would work. So, anyone got any ideas? Because I genuinely thought that was going
to
work.
Tino's turned up to the match drunk. Let's play with Barry Venison in the role.
Yeah. What's the tactical style?
Hope, mainly.
We're playing a hope too.
The force of my charisma and goodwill.
Yeah. Oh, but England,
which can get you pretty far.
They can do.
When you're Kevin Keegan.
England look like they've got a plan under Southgate, don't they?
So there is an angle here for Morocco, who I think are a better team than people think.
I
saw Morocco, Iran through the group.
I actually think it's...
Well, it was Uruguay and Costa Rica in 2014.
That's true,
you remember?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm not having Spain in disarray is still way more organised than every other
still be England, yeah.
They'll still get out the group.
I think it's actually quite a nice group, that one. I think that people might think that Portugal and Spain might breeze it. And they might.
What's the party group is Group H, though, isn't it? Japan, Senegal... Colombia, Poland.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely.
Beautiful.
Just, yeah, that's nice.
That's a lot of fun.
That is nice. Yeah,
hang on a minute. Breaking news. Julien Lepetegui has been sacked one day before the World Cup starts.
Come on.
There you go. Disarray!
Yeah!
There in disarray!
Oh, wow. Spain are doing a France.
Yes! England have got a chip. No, don't go that far.
They're on the other side of the draw. Doesn't matter.
England have got chips. Does anyone want some chips?
Reported by the BBC, the Spanish Football Federation have confirmed they've sacked Julien Lepetegui as manager just over 24 hours before the World Cup begins.
That's why we're recording in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That is mad.
That is insane.
Surely you've got to get someone in who's got World Cup experience, who knows how to take a team, and is called Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Imagine if they got Sven in.
Who are they going to get in?
It's got to be him, isn't it?
Zidane. They're getting Zidane
in. Imagine they got Zizou in.
Oh, imagine.
Oh,
from Champions League winner to World Cup winner. All he does is win.
Far be it for me to dampen the excitement, but they'll probably give it to the assistant. It's one day before the World Cup starts.
Piss off, Luke. Yeah.
Piss right off. What about Del Bosco? Get him back. What's he doing?
Get Pep in for the summer.
Being horrible.
Yeah. There we go, see?
Well, the fella, was it Camacho with the sweaty armpits?
Yeah.
2002.
It's great that it's not us having this to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, well, give it a couple
Come
more
on
days.
Now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, true.
My giddy aunt. Paul Pogba had another good game.
He did, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly my point. Yeah. Mourinho.
And I'm trying to think, who else?
Wayne Rooney has moved twice, and now there's a Wayne Rooney deal in Washington, D.C.
I personally enjoyed David De Gea. I personally enjoyed, let's call it outfield players. It's always the caveat with goalkeeper. I've personally enjoyed every single Mourinho player in the first game of the World Cup, emerge out of the tunnel like someone who's been kept in a basement for 5 years.
What is this beautiful
rubbing their eyes, looking at a football like it's been like
like a caveman discovering fire, yeah, like poking yeah, it, yeah, and then being brilliant.
Eating a dragonfly.
Yeah, but you know,
non, non, non. That was amazing, wasn't it?
That was so grim.
I forgot about that.
Do you think it's because he's got his gloves on? He's just got a gobbet out of his mouth. It was so grim.
Like when sometimes a goalkeeper gets a defender over to do his shoelaces. Yeah. Defender jogs over. What do you need? Shoelaces, it? Dragonfly.
Protein, mate. Protein. We all need protein.
Do you know the thing that if you played under...
Santa slap on the bum. Where's me thing?
Come on. When they're going
for, going for... Lord.
Yeah!
Pete, it's before back... we... No. Just yeah.
My nickname...
Stop. No, go on.
How does that work? Because you didn't have a guess that round.
Yeah, you got a guess. Yeah, you said stop. You got a guess. You can't tell you any more
clue. No, I can say...
No, you can't tell you any more clue. You've got a guess.
Kaladze.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. That's why I said get on with it.
Carry on, Peter.
My nickname is... It's the last clue. My nickname... So, Max is out of the game. My nickname...
No, that's not. I'm not.
Yeah, because you better guess on the clue.
His clue.
You didn't listen to the clue.
You can't
clue.
Have another
you
guess on the clue.
That's why I said carry on, and then you said, no, you got a guess.
You can't stop it. And that
I'd only started
guess.
The next clue, Marcus.
Carry on, Pete. You're listen, in charge
sorry,
this, Pete.
Sorry, Marcus. That's Paul. My nickname is El Grinta.
Well, no, anyway.
Oh, my God, have you all struck out?
Yeah. Wow.
This is rare, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm not allowed another
no, Marcus,
guess.
All right,
what would
no,
you
no,
have
no.
said? What would you have said then, Marcus?
Barry Grintles.
Barry Grintles. It's not Barry Grintles, Marcus. It's Christian Panucci!
Oh,
of so there we go, another Best Of special in the can. We're going to be back next week with our final Best Of episode from this little run, this time from last season. And then we're back in the studio next Thursday for a brand new episode of the Football Ramble. We will see you then. All right, everyone! It's the true Jordy here!
Big Jordy!
Have we not got homes to go to?
All right, everyone! Yeah.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? Our wagon, Holland and Barrett, showing off his muscles and selling creatine powder to papers.
Does he? Is that what he does?
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.